1 Kings chapter number 22, if you would please, 1 Kings chapter number 22. We're not having a family camp meeting per se, so you just need to drop that information in my box if you're planning to be there, and we'll sort it out and tell you who won the lottery of the last cabin or something like that, right? Some of you are going, what? Well, I can just tell you, it's usually first come, first serve. Dave Chapin gave me a deposit on this year's cabin last year on Sunday of family camp. Didn't you, Brother Dave? Amen. He said, I am going to be in a cabin next year. So I put it in a little envelope, put it in the family camp folder, and this year he came and said, I already given you my deposit, right? I'm like, huh? Did you get a receipt from me, by the way? No, but I've just told the whole church, right? Yeah, you recorded it. That's going to be a great time, and I hope you'll be there. Different week than we normally go this year, but that's always a wonderful time. 1 Kings 22. I love Old Testament stories, particularly those that really are not very well known. And this is one of my favorites. We're going to look at a man tonight by the name of Micaiah, and he is just a fiery prophet of God. But he's got a sense of humor, and he's brought into a time in the kingdom that's very turbulent. Jehoshaphat is Judah's king and is, for the most part, a godly man. But Jehoshaphat makes a major mistake, and that is he joins with Ahab to fight a particular battle that we're going to look at today. In defense of Jehoshaphat, let me say that in 1 Kings chapter number 21... if you look at the tail end of that chapter, you'll find that this is the location where Ahab repents before God, and God actually grants him that repentance and says, hey, look, we're not going to send this. He's humbled himself before me. I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Verse 29 of that chapter. So maybe Jehoshaphat joined him because of that. I don't know. I will tell you this, that over the period of years that Jehoshaphat's family and kingdom paid severely for this joining. Matter of fact, he marries to seal the arrangement, if you will, and eventually Athaliah kills all the grandchildren except for Josiah, who is hidden for a number of years and so forth. But that's another story. We may get to that eventually. But this particular one is where we see Jehoshaphat joining with Ahab. And I'd like us to read a fairly lengthy passage of Scripture here. Chapter 22, verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. It came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So let's find out what God has to say about this. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? I love that. 400 guys get together, tell the king exactly what he wants to hear. And he's like, I think actually I wanted a prophet of God, not these jokesters. It's kind of what he said. That's in the Hebrew. You'd have to study that out a little bit more. That we might inquire of him. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, and you're going to love this guy right off the bat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. So let's get this right. Ahab, you hate him, and you know he's a prophet of God. We already like the guy, right? I mean, he's already something else. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. I wonder why, Ahab, over the years. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, made him horns of iron and said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until they have consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth." Everybody's saying it. "Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord said unto me, that will I speak." So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear?" This is where it gets really good. And he answered him, "Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." You say, did he sound like that? He certainly had sarcasm in his voice. He had to have, okay? Because the king, verse 16, said unto him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" So in other words, he's like, "I told you to tell me the truth. Stop messing around." And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as a sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" So let's get this right here. So he tells you what you want to hear, and you get on to him for not telling you the truth. And then he tells you what the truth is, and you get mad at him because he told you the truth. That's what kind of man we're dealing with here. Verse 19, and he said, "Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So now he's called all those prophets liars. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day, but thou shalt go into thine inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And he said, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison. By the way, he didn't ask to come here. Now he's being put in prison. Feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. You'd have thought Micaiah had already said enough. Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a man like Micaiah that stood for you. May we learn some principles tonight from his life that will help us to stand in a world that sometimes wants us to have one voice together, all of them saying the same thing, but not what you would have us to say. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In order to have an impact in today's world, we must have more people like Micaiah. People who are willing to stand in the face of opposition. People who are willing to say, this is what God said, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I'm going to tell you the word of the Lord. Micaiah was admitting to the king at the end of this story that if he comes back in peace, then God has not really spoken to him. And in essence, he's a false prophet and deserves stoning. But Micaiah was very confident that he would have to do that. Micaiah is not asked Micaiah doesn't interrupt this proceeding, if you will, and prophesy. They ask him to come. We'd like your opinion. He comes, gives his opinion, and then gets thrown in jail for it. But it doesn't change his opinion. And so I'd like us to look at eight different things, eight principles, if you will, from this man's life that I think could be a help to us. Number one, he was a true man of God. Jehoshaphat immediately recognized, at least he had enough perception to figure out, that the 400 prophets who originally spoke to King Ahab were false prophets. So they all come in. King says, well, should we go up to battle to Ramoth-Gilead or not? And all of them said, sure, whatever. You're paying the paycheck. We'll tell you whatever you want to hear. Absolutely. go up. And Jehoshaphat says, anybody here that's a real man of God? Do you have anybody else we can ask what God really thinks about the subject? And Ahab, arguably in the Old Testament, the most wicked king, knew of such a man. And immediately he knew this was a man of God, a true man of God. By the way, it's interesting that Ahab immediately knew also that his prophets weren't. So he had them, if you will, there before him and listened to their counsel, quote unquote. But he knew all four of them, 400 of them, were liars. And if he wanted the real truth of what God had to say to him, he needed to go get Micaiah, which was not there presently. He was a true man of God. Number two, he had a reputation for telling the truth. Had a reputation for telling the truth. Verse 8 says, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now, we could take the time tonight, which we won't, we could take the time to delineate for you all of Ahab's wickedness. It's no wonder that this prophet had told Ahab evil. Ahab was an evil king. He did nothing but evil all the time. And this is not the first prophet of God to tell him so. But he refused to listen to them. I don't know how many times he has an encounter with Micaiah, but apparently it was multiple times in which Micaiah told him, you are wrong before God and you need to change your ways. He was a man that had the reputation for telling the truth. These other guys didn't have that reputation. The king knew it immediately. Jehoshaphat knew it immediately. These guys are just telling you what you want to hear. Can we just take a side note for a second on the message? If you genuinely want to know what God wants you to do in a given situation, don't go to people who are going to tell you what you want to hear. Go to people who you know will open the Word of God and give you true biblical counsel, even if you don't like it. Even if you don't like it. A number of times people have come to me and said, Pastor, what do you think about such and such? I think this and this and this. And I'll ask them, are you looking for confirmation or are you looking for counsel? There's a difference in the two. You want me to tell you what you're doing is okay? That's what the 400 men did. Or you want me to tell you what I believe God is telling me from the Word of God? That's what Micaiah did. And he stood against the 400. Number three, verse 8 also tells us that he was hated by evil men. He was hated by evil men. You could tell a lot of a person by who he hangs around, can't you? Who he likes and who he dislikes. That's why I say right from the beginning, we don't know much about Micaiah when we introduce him in this story, but the fact that King Ahab thinks that he prophesies for God and that King Ahab hates him tells him that I probably want to stand with Micaiah. Know very little about him, but I know what kind of man he is by the people that hate him. We don't necessarily, and we've talked about this a lot over our study of 1 Thessalonians, we're not looking for people to hate. We don't want to hate people. But the truth is, if you stand for truth, there are going to be some people that's going to hate you. And the truth is, the people who hate me tell me what kind of people they are and tells me what kind of people that I'm standing with. So if I'm standing with a guy that this crowd over here particularly hates, then it tells me what kind of guy this is automatically. That's exactly what was true with this man. He was hated by evil men. Number four. Boy, this one's a powerful one. He's not affected by peer pressure. The messenger comes and says, now listen, Micaiah, won't you listen to me? There are 400 guys, and they're all saying the same thing. Just come into the kingdom, tell the king what he wants to hear, and slowly leave, and everything will be okay. You know, Micaiah immediately answers him, I'm only going to say what God tells me to say. If that happens to agree with the 400, fine. If it happens to go opposite of the 400, that's what I'm going to do. What an incredible guy. He's not affected by it. Just be like one of them, please. All their words the same. They all speak that which is good. Don't come in and mess it up. peer pressure. We're all affected by peer pressure, aren't we? We like to blame it on teenagers. And teenagers are affected by peer pressure. But so are you. We're all affected by it. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. And how captivating it is. We talked a little bit this morning about whether we're going to please men or God. And if we please men, we can't be the servant of God. And Micaiah determined, I'm going to be the servant of God, whether men like it or not. He wasn't affected by peer pressure. Number five goes right along with what we've already been talking about. He is loyal to God and God alone. He's loyal to God and God alone. Many of you know this already, but we're talking about a time in history in which a man could speak against a king and the king had absolute sovereignty to do whatever he wanted. So a guy walks into a king and tells the king something the king doesn't like to hear, off with his head. I'll just shut the mouth of the messenger up. Now, it wouldn't have changed what God was going to say about him. And by the way, it's kind of interesting that he goes to throw him in jail. You know, what good did that do him? You ask him to tell you the truth. Now you're going to throw him in jail. And you're going to feed him bread and water. I love the fact that Micaiah didn't back down. It'd have been easy to say then, well, okay, I'm going to jail, you know. He emphasized the point. You're not coming to release me. Unless, of course, I'm not really a prophet of God. Which you and I both know I am. I mean, he didn't actually say it that way, but that has sure been tempting, wasn't it, to say it? He's loyal to God and God alone. I must speak that which God tells me to speak. Not what you as a servant tell me to speak. Not what a powerful king tells me to speak. Not what Jehoshaphat, a godly king of Judah, tells me to speak. I'm going to speak exactly what God has told me to speak. What a tremendous man this guy was. Number six, he has a sense of humor. That's one of my favorite parts of the story. So he comes in. Ahab already knows that his guys are liars. And Jehoshaphat has a pretty good idea, doesn't he? Could we find a real man of God here? Because the rest of these guys are... I mean, realize how many people, 400 prophets, that's a lot of people. And I'm going to guess, we had 155 this morning, so I'm going to guess there's 125, 135, something like that in this room. So we're talking about three times that amount. And they're all saying the same thing. And they're all standing before there. Matter of fact, they've gotten sophisticated. Some of them have even brought props for their message. Made them and said, ooh, see these, we're going to push them out of the way, you know. Ooh, that's really impressive, right? And here comes the one guy, and he walks in, and they said, so, should we go up to Ramoth-Gilead or not? Of course, go up to Ramoth-Gilead. The Lord bless you. I don't know exactly. I've told the young people a number of times in the youth department, there are certain DVDs that I'm hoping God will let us see in heaven, you know? These kind that you're like, oh, I want to see that face when this happens, you know? Some of you are offended already. We may not watch DVDs in heaven. I'm just saying, I'd love to see some of these stories really play out, you know? This would be one of them, to just kind of see how he actually said this. Oh, go ahead. You go to battle. Yeah, it's not a problem. God be with you. Yeah, the Lord's going to deliver you in your hand. Okay, bless you, King. And then Ahab immediately fires back to him. Didn't I tell you to tell me the truth? You're not going to be satisfied with whatever I tell you, right? Sense of humor. Now, you would think that a guy who's already got a serious message to say, and a guy that's going to be 400-1 odds, and he's talking to a king that holds his life in his hand, that he wouldn't be kind of a smart aleck here, but he is, and I love it. I love the fact that he has a sense of humor here. And the fact is, Ahab already knew what the right answer was, didn't he? Ahab really didn't need to have someone come and tell him. He already knew the right answer. So when Micaiah agreed with the liars, Ahab already knew that's not really what God had to say. By the way, when you finish the story, sadly, they go to battle anyway. it's like, really? So Jehoshaphat, you wanted a real man of God, and you recognized immediately that the 400 prophets weren't the men of God. And when the real man of God showed up, Ahab recognized him, and you recognized him, and he told you the truth, and you went to battle anyway? But he did. Wow. I'm grateful that Micaiah had a sense of humor. Number 7, he exposes the false prophets. He tells them exactly what they are. And says for a fact that they're liars. And it's interesting that one of them decides to slap him and literally make a disrespectful statement. Well, since you're so godly, won't you tell me which way the Spirit of the Lord went when I slapped you in the face? What blatantness by this guy. I mean, he's the one, by the way, that brought the object lesson with him. He was, if you will, the most flamboyant liar in the crowd. Micaiah says, you're going to see the day. It's coming, but you're going to be hid in the inner chamber. You're going to be scared to death here real soon when God unleashes on you what He said He's going to in this chapter of Scripture. He exposes the false prophets for who they really are. Number 8, threats did not change his message. Threats did not change his message. Go throw him in prison. Feed him with bread and water. What does he say? You're not coming to release me. If you are, I'm a false prophet. And if I'm a false prophet, I deserve to be in jail. Really, I deserve to die. But you're not coming to release me. Because I've already told you, you're dying today. And that was the message from God. And that's exactly what happens. Sadly, in verse 29, it says, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, this is really good. You're talking about gullible. I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, and put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariot, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only the king of Israel. So let's get this right, Jehoshaphat. Not only are you teaming up with a wicked king, not only are you understanding that there's a man of God in your midst, but you totally disregarded his counsel. And not only did you totally disregard his counsel, but you allow the king that you're teaming up with to throw the godly man in prison. But now the king you're going to team up with says, hey, I tell you what, why don't you do this? Why don't you dress up as king? And I'll go into battle in disguise, but you'll look like the king. Wouldn't that be really neat? And Jehoshaphat does it. It's like, really? You're not too bright, are you, buddy? You're going to go into battle when which everyone's gunning after the king. I mean, if they can kill the leader, that's great. Man. And it came to pass, verse 32, when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. Duh. And they turned aside to fight against, and Jehoshaphat cried out. Now again, I don't know exactly what it was, but it just in my mind, I would think this would be a sissy cry. You know? You know, and then some of you were asleep, now you're awake. That's good. It's like, Jehoshaphat, what are you doing? It's interesting. Verse 33, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that he was not the king of Israel. How'd they figure that out? The sissy cry, that's how. Ah! Oh, that's not the king of Israel. He's turning around and running. What's wrong with this guy, you know? Wow. That's pretty incredible. Well, notice verse 34. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thou thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. So a guy just strikes a bow, and it finds its target. That's because that arrow was guided by a God who said, today's your day. Today's your day. The battle increased. The king stayed up in his chariot. By the way, Ahab was an incredible military tactician. If you study his life, he had some incredible victories as a military man. This is a pretty amazing thing that he could stay up with an arrow through his harness. Wham! I mean, it struck right in the middle there. And he could fight the rest of the day before he eventually dies. And the nation mourns him. But as I said, if we had time tonight to continue the effect that allegiance had on Jehoshaphat and the king of Judah, it's tragic. But here's a man who said, you know what? I'm going to tell people the truth. I'm going to be a true man of God. He had a reputation for telling the truth. He was hated by evil men. He was not affected by peer pressure. It doesn't matter what the world's doing, I'm going to do what's right. He's loyal to God and God alone. Had a sense of humor. He exposed false prophets. Threats. Didn't change his message. We need more men like Micaiah. More men that are willing to stand, no matter what, and tell the truth, very straightforward, with a sense of humor, if you will, and stand for God and God alone. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the example of this man in Scripture. I love this story. Lord, sadly, Jehoshaphat didn't listen to this godly man. He did what he wanted to do. And though he survived the battle this day, the alliance that he made with Ahab was devastating for his family in the future. Lord, may we stand like Micaiah. In the midst of difficult days, in the midst of 400 to 1 odds, if we will, may we stand. May we do so, Lord, with a sense of humor, yes. May we be willing to tell the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.